The following material is brought to you by Riverside Baptist Church in Riverside, California, where clarity, eternity, and charity are our motto. We invite you to join our services at Riverside Baptist. For more information, please visit our website at www.rbcsocal.com.
Luke 2:21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. This is the word of the Lord for all of us this morning, and it's been my earnest prayer this past week that you would see clearly the salvation which Simeon saw in the very face of the infant child Jesus. It is also my earnest prayer that you would be moved to participate in the global effort of proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. You may be seated. There are 5 movements in this narrative portion of the scripture which we just read. First movement, number 1, Jesus was circumcised and named. That is in verse 21. In the Jewish tradition, the circumcision was significant for at least 3 benefits. Number 1, for health and hygiene reasons. Now, to cut away the foreskin lowers the potential of passing on an infection in the course of a husband and wife relationship. Secondly, circumcision was beneficial in this manner, and it is more importantly, circumcision was a sign for entering into the community of the people of God. It was sort of like a ticket of admission to become part of the Jewish community. There would have been at least 10 people witnessing this circumcision take place in the house of the place where they stayed in Bethlehem after the birth of Jesus. Moses records God as saying to Abraham, you'll find this in Genesis 17, 10 to 11. It says this, "This is my covenant." What is that? "This is my promise. This is my oath, which you shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee," he says to Abraham. "Every man child among you shall be circumcised." Herein is a command given by God to Abraham and to his seeds. "And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token," that is a sign, that is, as I said, a sort of a ticket of admission of the covenant betwixt me and you. Now, the third benefit of circumcision, and most significantly, the physical cutting away of the skin, describes your spiritual need to cut away the depravity of sin from your life in order that you can enter the kingdom of God. Now, listen very carefully to what I'm saying. Before I became a Christian, I had a heart of stone. Why is that, Pastor Christian? Because I was recalcitrant. I was obstinate. I was disobedient. And I had this hard attitude, a stony heart attitude towards God. Now, I had this heart of stone, and it needed to be cut away from me. And God had to take it away. God had to cut away that heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh. Now, I've just described to you a spiritual circumcision. The prophet Jeremiah says it in this way: "Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart because of the evil of your doings." The prophet Ezekiel says about God that one day he will give them one heart and he will put away or put a new spirit within you, and God will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them an heart of flesh. This spiritual circumcision that I described to you is taught yet again in the New Testament by the Apostle Paul. When he wrote to the Colossians, he says to them that when they believed in Jesus Christ, "Ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." That is the circumcision, the spiritual circumcision, which is the most significant here about circumcision. Pastor Christian, I have a question. If that is the case, then why did Jesus have to be circumcised? He had no sin, did he? You're right. Jesus had no sin. The scriptures are clear about this. The Apostle Paul says he knew no sin, but he had to be circumcised in order to obey the command to be circumcised, so that all of the scripture might be fulfilled, so that all of the commands of God are obeyed by him. Hence is one of the reasons why he could save us. Why is that? Because he obeyed all the law perfectly, where you and I could not and cannot obey the law. The first Adam and all his descendants, that's you and me, buddy, they failed miserably. Adam failed miserably, but the second Adam, that is Christ, succeeded gloriously. And so, in the first movement of our text this morning, Joseph, his adoptive father, undoubtedly performed this circumcision at the place later found where they found in Bethlehem. Traditionally, there would have been at least 10 people to witness this event. There, he also presided in naming Mary's firstborn child, what? Jesus. Jesus was the name given by the angel Gabriel, independently to Mary, and also later on to Joseph. And in Hebrew, it is Yeshua, which means God saves, or that salvation is in Jehovah, or that Jehovah is salvation. The Apostle Matthew records for us that the angel told Joseph that Mary's son shall be called Jesus, for he shall, what? Save his people from their sins. Now, we observe movement number two, and it's found in verses 22 through 24. Mary waited 40 days from the birth of her son, then purified. This ritual, again, was commanded in the Old Testament. Are you getting the idea that this young couple were devout Jews? Yeah. They wanted to obey all that is commanded them to do with regards to giving birth, with regards to becoming pure, and with regards to going to the temple, and so on and so forth. They were young. And yet, very mature in their obedience to the laws of God. They made the trek to Jerusalem, where Herod's temple was, and took that journey of about 6 miles to do two things. Number one, to get a certificate from the priest of purification. And number two, to present Jesus Christ unto God in the temple, because the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Was Jesus a firstborn of Mary? Yes. And whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine, says the Lord. Let me pause here and say this. Oh, how we need people today, men and women, young or old, boys and girls, who are mature to obey the will of God for their life. We need real men, real women of God, who know the will of God, and not only know the will of God, but do the will of God, and practice the will of God, and obey it in their life. So this is what we see in the second movement of our narrative this morning. We notice now movement number three in our text, verses 25 through 35. This is the longest movement that we see here. And that is what? We're being introduced to a new character, and his name is who? Simeon. All right, girls, you're listening. You'll get the brownie points later for daddy, from daddy. All right. Very good. How about our adults? Are you listening? We have a new character here by the name of Simeon. And Simeon, as we see here, waited for not 40 days like Mary did. What does the scripture say? He waited years. And then he saw the Lord's Christ. We notice here that he was just and devout, verse number 25. This language is pregnant with meaning. He was just. The Greek there is dikaios, meaning righteous. And what does the scripture say about being just? The just shall live by faith. Abraham believed in God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Simeon was just. And then it says devout. Devout is from eulabes, which has the denotation of cautiousness and reverence. This wasn't some crazy person hanging around the temple court just because he didn't have anything to do at home. And you get the idea here that he's done that day after day after day, that he's waiting there to see something, to see the future of Israel. Who was this man always hanging around in the temple? And he was a fixture there. There wasn't a day when you didn't see Simeon, the young mothers who brought their firstborn sons to the temple for the presentation, talked about him. The young husbands perhaps complained about this fellow who always peered at the young couples who brought their firstborn for the presentation. Who was this old man? Some biblical scholars thought that he might have been a priest himself, but no one liked him. Why? Because he always talked about the Messiah. He always talked about the consolation of the Lord coming. And one of these days he will see one of these babies brought in the temple, and that would be the Messiah. They didn't like him. And so we're told in verse number 25, he was waiting for the what? Consolation of Israel. The consolation of Israel speaks of what? When you try to console somebody, what are you doing? You're trying to what? Help them, encourage them, comfort them. And he's saying, this is the comfort. I'm waiting for the comfort of Israel. Why? Were they being oppressed? Yes, they were being oppressed. Were they in turmoil? Yes, in many ways. Yes, and they needed the comfort. They needed the encouragement. They needed the consolation of Israel. Simeon knew the writings of Isaiah where he records, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Isaiah 40, verse number 10 says this, behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Simeon waited for this consolation of Israel, and it was finally here. You notice in verse 25 that the Holy Ghost was upon him. The Holy Ghost gave him a revelation. Verse number 26, the Holy Ghost guided him into the temple. In verse 27, we see that. Then he said, the revelation which was shown him by the Holy Ghost, he said it. And this movement here gets really exciting. Can you see it? Picture it in your mind. This old man advancing towards the young couple. We're not told here, but perhaps there were some there who accompanied Joseph and Mary who knew this old man who was always a fixture there in the temple. And perhaps they now cautioned, Mary, watch out, watch out. Here comes this old man. And he's done this several times to many young couples here in the temple. Hey, Joseph, watch out, watch out. Here he comes. And now Simeon stretched his hands towards the baby. And he takes the baby out of Mary's hands. Now, if you were Joseph, what were you supposed to do? What would you have done if this was happening to you? Get away, man. Get away. I don't want your germs, right? And now he takes the baby in his hands and he puts it up in the air and he says, This is the consolation of Israel. Look at in our text here, Simeon kept his stride and he stretched his arms now to take the child from his mother. And he gazed into his face. This is the Son of God. This is the face of God. Simeon nestled the infant now in his arms, and his tears flowed down his face as he blessed God. And what does he say? He says, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the peoples, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." I can't help but think of what the Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." This good news is a global news. It's not just for the comfort of God's people Israel, but for the rest of the world as well. And at this point, you can appreciate why Luke records the fourth movement. Look at verse number 33. What does it say? Joseph and Mary were what? Marveled. They were like, "Oh, okay, this is good." And that's why they're amazed. Their eyes grew big. Their ears perked up and wondered at the sight and the blessed song of this old fella. They could see his tears cascading down his face. And he said he was ready to die. Why? Because he saw the salvation of Israel. And Mary especially kept all these in her heart, just like she did with the shepherd's song earlier. Now we move now to movement number 5. And we find that in verses 34 and 35. Look with me. Luke chapter 2, verses 34 and 35. "And Simeon blessed them." Who's the them there? Joseph, Mary, and the child. But he specifically addresses Mary, the mother of the child. "Behold," he says to Mary, "this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against," and parentheses, "yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul." Remember, who is he talking to specifically? To Mary. And then close parenthesis, "that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." So let me give you a commentary here in reverse order. First, he says to Mary that she would be deeply wounded in her soul by the death of her son. And that's how any affectionate and loving mother reacts. She would see the atrocities done to her son. She would be deeply wounded by all of it. "This child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel." What does that mean? Well, it means this: that there will be those who would be offended and stumble and what? Fall at the revelation of Jesus Christ, at the ministry of Jesus Christ. But there will be those who would what? Rise again, and that is unto eternal life, because there would be those who would receive him unto themselves, And to those who receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, the children of God, even to them who believe in Christ Jesus. Now, the question is to you this morning. Did you know that you were in this prophecy? You either fall or rise at the revelation of Jesus. Which one are you? Now we move to applications for our use this morning. Number one, thank God that deliverance from sin is not by us obeying the laws of God. Deliverance from sin is by Jesus obeying the laws of God. If it were up to us, none of us would be saved. None of us could obey all the laws of God with a perfect heart all of the time. Many might say, well, I've done pretty good. I've done better than others, particularly my Uncle Pico, who is in the community hospital or the community jail today. I've done pretty well. Pastor, God's going to consider that, right? No, God is not going to consider that. The psalmist in Psalm 14 says, they are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. You couldn't obey all the laws of God with a perfect heart all of the time, even if you wanted to. Any more than can an Ethiopian change the color of his skin, nor can a leopard erase his spots. Why? Because you have inherited the very nature of Adam, who plunged the entire world into sin and separation from God. The Bible says in Romans 5:12 this, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But thank God, Jesus Christ was virgin born. He did not inherit the nature of Adam. Jesus Christ is a sinless Son of God, and he is the only one who perfectly obeyed all of the laws of God, all of the time, in the entirety of his life and ministry here on earth. And that's why he himself says this. Listen now. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy the law, but to what? Fulfill the law. So, Pastor Christian, since Jesus Christ obeyed perfectly the law for us, does that mean that we're automatically saved, delivered, rescued from sin? No, my friends. It doesn't happen automatically. Why? Because you have to what? Appropriate it for yourself. The Apostle Paul says this, for Christ is the end of the law. Yay! For the righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now I want you to pay attention to this word very carefully, because this word is an active present verb. What does that mean, Pastor Christian? You lost me at the active present verb. You lost me at verb. Well, it means this. To believe now. To believe it actively. To believe it in the present. And to believe it continually. Do you now believe in Jesus Christ actively, presently, and with an idea of clinging to Him that no matter what the circumstances are, you're going to continue to believe in Jesus Christ? Is that you? Then you can be assured of the salvation which Jesus Christ brings. And if not, if you don't believe like that, then I proclaim to you, believe presently, actively, clingingfully, if I may add that word, and continually believe in Jesus Christ and you be delivered. Application number two, Simeon's own prophecy here. He says, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. What does that mean? It wasn't a death wish, was it? It was this, that he was now prepared to die. Because why? Because he has seen with his own eyes the salvation of the Lord. Let me say this. Christian, do you need assurance of salvation? Do you waver in your faith in Jesus? Well, you know, Pastor Christian, it's hard. I mean, I didn't see Jesus die on the cross. I didn't see Jesus buried in the tomb. I didn't see him rise from the dead. Let me ask you questions here. Did Simeon see the death of Jesus Christ? No. Did Simeon see the burial of Jesus Christ? Probably not. We have reasons to believe that he died shortly after this. Did he see the resurrected Jesus Christ? Probably not. But he what? He had assurance of salvation with his eyes of faith. And I say to you now, Christian, that you don't have to see the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but to see it in the scripture that it was done. And you, my friend, have assurance of salvation. That's why the writer of the Hebrews says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then he adds, but without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Christian, can I encourage you today? Don't waver in your faith in Christ. The Apostle John says this, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and so that ye may continue to believe on the name of the Son of God. You see, anyone who has seen Jesus with the eyes of faith like Simeon's is prepared to depart from this life into eternal life. Amen to that. But look at this. Anyone who has not seen Jesus with the eyes of faith like that of Simeon's is not prepared to depart from this life. Why? Because what awaits them is the condemnation which is not eternal life. And finally, application number three. We see here Simeon's prophecy once again. He says, for mine eyes have seen thy what? Salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. This was a proclamation of global impact. It is towards all of the world, not just the people of Israel. The word people here comes from the Greek word laos, which means peoples or nations. A biblical scholar said this, quote, "This is the basis for our evangelistic outreach around the world." Simeon's prophecy was about global evangelism. Jesus is God's light to the nations. The whole world is covered with darkness through sin, but Jesus has come to dispel the darkness, to shine the light of salvation into every dark corner of him, of every dim heart. And it is because of him that we have a gospel we can take to all nations and to offer to everyone. We can say to people, look, here is salvation. Jesus Christ is God's light for the world. See him and be saved. End quote. Hey, Christian, can I ask you something? What is your involvement in reaching the world for Christ? What is your commitment like in reaching your neighborhood for Christ? Can I encourage you today? Will you pray for your neighborhoods? Will you give them the gospel tract? Will you hand them a gospel CD? Will you give to missions? Well, Pastor Christian, I've already done that. I've given before. Well, that's good, but I can encourage you to give continually, even now, to missions. Will you pray for your missionaries? And those of you who have particularly partnered with a missionary back in October, we did that, a prayer partnership with the missionaries. How are you doing with that? Are you praying diligently for your missionary? Hey, Christian, are you willing to go? If the Lord calls you to Cuba or to Peru or to the 1040 window, we call it, in Asia, Mongolia, China. No, there's coronavirus there. I don't want to go. Are you willing to go? Hey, parents, are you willing for your children to go if the Lord wants them to go? How is your heart this morning? How are you involved with the outreach of the world? Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is the light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, so says Simeon. And so let us be willing then to proclaim that news. And let's do that even in our Jerusalem here this morning. Let's pray.